birds flying through his hazy face, and I came back here to replace your place in my life. And didn't you know that I'm not the world's strongest man when it comes to you and your world? I'm long lost. Can't you see the towers of my naked shine like a dime? Take me back again to your warm design. And again, 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 longing for belongings here again. And I need your laugh, you know I can't pretend anymore. And didn't you know that I'm not the world's strongest man when it comes to you and your world? I'm long lost. Can't you see the towers of my naked shine like a dime? Take me back again to your warm design. Da 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 da.
Strange things to me, they nearly make me gloomy. For you, dear, are so clever, so obviously the top. I wish you'd go on forever. I wish even more you'd stop. Oh, it's bad for me, it's bad for me, the knowledge that you're going mad for me. I feel certain my friends would be glad for me, but it's bad for me. It's so good for me, so new for me, to see someone in such a stew for me. And when you say you'll do all you could for me, it's so good for me, it's bad for me. I felt till you whispered to me, completely left on the shelf. But since you started to woo me, I'm just crazy about myself. It's a boon for me, a break for me, to hear that your heart's on the make for me. Yet no matter however appealing, I still have a feeling it's bad for me. It's so sweet for me, it's well for me, to feel that you're going through hell for me. Yet no matter however appealing, I still have a feeling it's bad for me.
Hard to live. The mind begins things start to drift. You're feeling wonderful, feeling wonderful. Maybe you're falling in love. Maybe you're falling in love. Maybe you're falling, 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 falling in love. You stare across the harbor. So heavy now, they just getting in your way. Look, now you're walking in the Holy Land. Yeah, that's you there, walking with the King. You ask, what have I done to deserve this? Well, you haven't done a thing.
Welcome to the second episode of Unspoken Requests with Jared and Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for being here once again, here after the midnight hour.
That was Randy Newman with Falling in Love from the album Land of Dreams. Before that, we heard It's Bad for Me by The Roaches. And to start the show off, we heard The World's Strongest Man by Scott Walker from Ohio. Like we said, thanks again for joining us. We got some songs to play for you today. We're going to be joined by a special guest later in the show. Local legend Louis Rogers is going to stop by the studio.
Local music hero Louis B. Rogers. Should be here any minute. We're kind of waiting for him to show up. If he waltzes in the middle of this, I will not be surprised.
I thought he was supposed to be here a half hour ago, Mike.
Well, maybe that's something we'll talk about. He'll talk about his music. We'll talk about his reputation, which is being dragged all over town.
Oh boy. Hey, thanks for all the cards and letters we received, with your feedback from the first show. We appreciate it. It's encouraging. And if you want to get a hold of us in the future, that's fine.
I was really pleasantly surprised that we got more fan letters than hate letters.
Yeah.
After the first show, you never know what to expect.
Right. Hey, we got some more music we need to play.
Yeah, what do you got?
Here's Blue Magic with Look Me Up.
You town without me again. Said eyes, get me away. And no flash bulbs go off when I'm out on Friday nights. But that's okay. I've got the reflection of the moon on. About you, boy, you're going home empty-handed.
phase of the moon. And on that day, while my train's somewhere for me, I'll never stop to think there's something I could do.
That was Nadel Torisi with Double Horizon. Before that, we heard Along the PCH on Oscar Night by Nicholas Kurgovich. And to start off that nonstop rock, well, it wasn't a nonstop rock block.
It did stop.
It stopped, and it wasn't all technically rock. But those three songs started off with Look Me Up by Blue Magic. How's everything going, Mike?
You know, I've been doing just fine. I've been anxious.
Well, it's fall.
I wish. It's almost fall. I walked home from work last night, and I didn't have a jacket, and I regretted it, and I thought it was still summer.
Whoa.
So I was a little chilly walking home.
I made chili the other day.
Oh, yeah? I was just thinking yesterday, if I made chili, could you put pulled pork into a chili? Would
yeah.
that be good? Would it?
I think
would it hold up?
Yeah,
like a pulled pork chili.
It's not gonna, like, disintegrate.
Sounds good.
I'm sure people have done it.
Yeah, but I think it sounds like it would taste good.
I made a vegetarian chili.
Oh well,
I eat meats, but not this time because it was a vegetarian chili.
So you had beans,
fake meat.
Oh,
a few different kinds of peppers. Some secrets.
You put your secrets in your chili?
Yeah, I wrote them down on pieces of paper. Hopes and dreams and bacon.
It's like,
it's
like a cleanse, like a seance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's good.
Hey, I was just thinking about this. Do you ever watch the Bob Newhart show? Or Garfield? Or the Real Ghostbusters cartoon?
When I was a kid, the Real Ghostbusters was my favorite TV show.
Okay.
And
this is good.
I had a lot of Real Ghostbusters action figures. And I remember, I have a clear memory of finding one years later after I stopped playing with them, finding one buried next to the porch of my house.
Uh-huh.
And wondering, did I bury all of these? Where are they? Where have they all gone? Because I don't have any of them anymore. But at my parents' house long ago, this is years ago,
yeah.
I was like a young teenager, I found a buried one and thought, did I do some mysterious thing with these Real Ghostbusters?
Mike, I'm going to need you to turn up the bed music.
Oh, sure. What do we got?
Our bed music.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, just a little bed music.
Yeah.
Hey, so anyways,
it's appropriate since we are recording this in our bed.
Yeah, with those, just like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but we each have our own bed.
That's right, we got the covers up, we got those long nightcaps that are very long. Yeah.
So, okay, so the Real Ghostbusters cartoon... Peter Venkman,
yeah. He's the smart-alecky Ghostbuster.
He was the one played by Bill Murray in the motion picture. But in the cartoon, Peter Venkman is voiced by a man named Lorenzo Music.
Okay, I follow.
Okay. Lorenzo Music also voiced Garfield. In the Garfield Saturday morning cartoon.
Garfield and Friends. Backed with U.S. Acres.
So, this guy, Lorenzo Music, plays Peter Venkman and Garfield on Saturday morning cartoons. Are you following me so far?
So far, so good. He voiced Peter Venkman. Lorenzo Music voices Peter Venkman and Garfield D. Cat.
Yes. Peter Venkman... Most people know him as being played by Bill Murray, right?
In the major motion picture,
yes.
Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2.
Guess what other character Bill Murray voiced in a motion picture? It's one that's been already just mentioned.
I'm going to have to guess Garfield?
That's right. You can't make this stuff up, folks.
So wait a minute.
Yeah. So you might want to follow. If you're at home, if you want to get a scrap piece of paper to follow this, it might be easier.
Draw some kind of Venn diagram.
There are two actual men in real life who both voiced Garfield and Peter Venkman.
Wow.
One
amazing.
Did it on the silver screen. One did it on the television screen.
You know, I used to work with a guy named Mike Music.
Yeah.
In high school.
Yeah.
At Dairy Queen. You and I each worked at a Dairy Queen.
We each worked at different Dairy Queens, 2 hours away from each other, same time in the late 90s.
Yeah. This guy, Mike Music, he had long hair, but in order to continue working there, he had to pull his hair up under his hat. So I remember him having a bun pulled up under his hat that looked funny, like where the hair would like swoop down below his neck and then up again into his hat. Kind of like it looked like he had a weird wig on or something. And then there was another guy named Ephraim that we worked with. And one time, those guys, just out of pure orneriness, I used to drink chocolate milk. I was 14 at the time. I used to drink chocolate milk on the clock for my treat, you know?
Okay.
They have treats at DQ.
Yeah, I would
cool treats.
I would have soda pop.
Yeah.
But
so we had the kids meal toy one time was a beach ball.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
A tiny little beach ball, and it had some like gravelly sand in the bottom of it.
Yeah,
they cut one of those open and dumped it in my chocolate milk one time, and I took a big chug on it and got a mouthful of sand. And I turned to those guys and I just said, "You guys, you got me good." And I'm spitting out. I'm like, boy, you sure got me good. And I laughed it off. And that's the day they stopped picking on me. So I just want to send that out to all the kids listening right now. If you're being picked on by a bully, just play along for a minute. They'll realize that they're not getting to you. And maybe they'll leave you alone. Unless they've got a real problem. Then you need to tell the teacher.
Exactly. Or your boss. Or the night manager at Dairy Queen.
That's right. Which I didn't do. I did not do. Hey, speaking of Lorenzo Music and Mike Music, and music in general.
Yeah.
Jared and I were trying to come up with a theme for this week's show, which we'll probably be doing more of as we move forward. But
sometimes we'll have themes that you'll know about. Sometimes we'll have themes you have to guess.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's because that's a fun game to try to guess the theme of the show. But other times it's because we don't really have a definitive theme and we're going to leave it up to you to decide what it actually was.
Well, we're hopefully going to have Lewis B. Rogers on the show here in a little while, who I think is a wonderful songwriter. He's one of the great songwriters.
I'm going to get his management on the phone.
Okay, great. Yeah, you can track his people down. And so I suggested to Jared, maybe we should populate the show otherwise when we're not playing Lewis's music and speaking with Lewis. Maybe we should put songs on the show, music on the show, that we think is particularly well-written songs by good songwriters. And then after we both kind of searched for songs, it dawned on us that, like, why would we play something ever not written by a good songwriter or not a good song?
I would.
Well,
I mean, we would. There's songs,
but that can mean anything.
It
can mean anything.
Right.
It's meaningless. And I thought that was very funny as I was like putting songs together. It was like, I guess I just pick what this means to me. But I thought that was a pretty ridiculous way to kick off our second
idea
show.
In my mind was like, you know, it's not like like a Jimmy Webb or Cole Porter.
Like a
nice
classic songwriter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it's like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the time.
I was kind of the same way.
Yeah.
So we're all over the place. Speaking of good music, like we have been, do you want to play some more tunes?
Yeah.
Great. Let me see if I can get something going here, and we will try to contact Lewis and find out why he's not here yet. We will be back after this.
swiped from a sister. She's rock and roll, but she's acting like who knows, baby. They know what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. of dreams. Wow, but at least a tin can.
Okay, welcome back to Unspoken Requests with Jared Cheek and Mike Adams. Please excuse us if we seem a little exasperated or out of sorts. We are still trying our hardest to track down Louis Rogers. He is a no-call, no-show at this point. I really don't know what we'll do without him. We may be forced to play more music. We may be forced to talk more, which I know you don't want. I mean, frankly, at this point, it's become a search and rescue effort. We hope, Louis, if you're out there listening, we hope you're okay. We hope you can get a hold of us, let us know just that you're fine. As long as we can tell that you're okay, then we'll at least have some peace of mind.
Is not here, so please get up and call an Uber if you have to. Get over here.
Well, speaking of Uber, that last song you heard was Pear Ubu with Breath from their album Cloudland. And before that, you heard FM St. Jude with Give It Up. And before that, Love Songs on the Radio by Mojave 3. Jared, you've returned. Were you able to get a hold of Louis?
No. I left a voicemail. Again.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. As you know, I coach cross country, and I had to cancel practice again for this, because this is when Lou could do it. And he's not here.
What age are those cross country kids?
I don't know. What grade is seventh grade? What age is seventh grade? That age. If they're smart, it might be younger than if they're extra smart. It might be younger.
Oh, because they may have skipped fourth, fifth, or sixth grade.
If they've had troubles with passing,
yeah,
and they were left behind a year, then they're older. but who knows? You know what they're doing right now? They're probably eating junk food,
eating cheese,
and not practicing. And it's all my fault.
They're stagnating.
I look like a dummy to them. I look like a dummy to the listeners.
You have sectionals coming up.
Sectionals are coming up. Not anymore. Who knows now?
Well, hopefully we can hear from Louis soon. I've got some burning questions for him regarding Busman's Holiday, regarding his new studio space that he just invented. I've got... the people want to know.
I don't even care anymore.
Now, come on, you don't mean that. Let's take a few minutes. You calm down. Maybe let's play some music.
Ugh! The only thing that's going to make you feel better is to listen to some Bread. Can we play Bread?
Okay, we'll play some Bread, and we'll come back after that, and hopefully Louis will be with us, and you can calm down a little bit.
I'm playing Bread, whether you like it or not. That's what I'm playing.
Okay, let's do it.
It don't matter to me if you really feel that need some time to be free, time to go out searching for yourself, hoping to find time to go to find. It don't matter to me if you take up with someone who's better than me, 'cause your happiness is all I want for you to find.
gave it for, it really doesn't matter, just as long as you're the last. Everybody moving on and trying to find out what's been missing in the past. And it don't matter to me if your searching brings you back together with me, 'cause there'll always be an empty room waiting for you, an open heart waiting for you. Time is on my side, 'cause it don't matter to me.
No, I don't feel so sad, I just feel all alone.
Hey, welcome back to Unspoken Requests with Mike and Jared. I'm Mike, and over there's Jared.
Hey, hey, from before, it's Jared. Smoke 'em.
What you just heard there before the break was three songs. You heard It Don't Matter to Me from Bread at the top there. Then we heard Two Theota from Ty Maxson, a great songwriter out of Chicago. I recommend digging up his stuff. And then we heard On the Echoing Green from Jeffrey Cantu Ledesma.
Actually, that was Song of Summer.
Oh, that's not what it says
from
on here.
From the album. That's the album title.
Oh, the album is The Echoing Green. So what is...
Song of Summer.
Song of Summer. Perfect.
Song of the Summer.
As we close out the summer.
Song
here.
Of Summer.
I've been a fan of that guy for a long time. What's happened?
What's happening?
What was that?
That was the bed music I forgot to plug in.
Oh, okay.
We're plugged in now.
So we should tell you, now that we're about an hour deep into the show, we still have not been able to track down Louis Rogers. I'm not so much worried about him anymore as I am just really angry with him.
This might sound petty, but during the last song break, mm-hmm. I unfriended him on all social media.
I unfollowed him. I didn't want him to know that I was unfriending him, so I just unfollowed him.
I unfollowed him on all things. Then I sent him an email.
Oh, then a nasty email?
Yeah, then I sent an email to his management to be like, hey, this lowlife won't even check this because he doesn't even... If he's not going to show up for a thing on time, why is he going to check his email? So I sent an email to his manager to tell him to go to Louis in person and tell him... Yeah. That I've unfriended
well,
him.
I've resigned myself. If I see him again on the street, he'll be lucky if I speak to him and not just spit right in his face.
He writes a few good songs and he...
Hey! Lewis!
Guys. Lewis, thanks for joining us,
come
man.
On in,
hey.
Lou.
Wow, pleasure.
Hey,
thanks for being here.
I'm so sorry.
It's probably our fault. We probably told you the wrong time. It's okay.
You know...
All's well that ends well.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you guys for being patient, and I know how much you guys love me, and, you know, I really appreciate you guys having me here. And,
well, that's true. We do love you.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're very happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, no, glad to be here. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Do you know the name of the show?
you know...
Hey, let's see about this. So the official name of the show is Unspoken Requests.
Unspoken Requests.
Yeah, with Mike and Jared. Jared and Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. But the runner-up was going to... We were going to do like a morning zoo type thing, but we're on at night.
Yeah.
So we were going to be called Jared in the Morning at Night with Mike.
Jared in the Morning
Which
at Night.
Which makes more sense if you're familiar with the old local radio show Shannon in the Morning.
With Deb.
Yeah. On what station was that?
I can't remember.
One of our rivals.
Yeah, one
is.
Of our bitter rivals.
Yeah, the late night. I like that. I like Jared in the Morning with Mike at Night.
You don't think it's too much?
I mean, I don't know if I could say what's too much or not.
It's too late then. There's nothing we can do about it.
This show has been named.
The show is named Unspoken Requests.
Unspoken Requests.
Yeah.
I like that name, too. You guys picked two good names.
Oh, thanks. Good. Louis Rogers, of course, you're from Busman's Holiday.
That's right.
The popular rock band.
That's right. I'm part of that popular rock band.
Yeah. That's mostly why I wanted to have you on today, was to pick your brain about being one of the drivers of that popular rock band.
Hey, glad to be here, then. I'm the man for the job.
Yeah. What's going on with Busman's Holiday, right? Just generally right now?
I heard they broke up. Is that true? Not true? Let's start with that.
Kind of true.
Ooh. Oh, I was joking.
No, I was joking too.
Okay, good.
Yes. Right now we are we're writing a new album, brand new EP. At this point, it's almost might as well make an album. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, just get a couple more songs, put that on an EP. You know. But either way, doing that and then getting ready for this tour with you, getting the band ready, playing a lot of shows with the new band, and with the added
that's
members.
The four piece outfit, right?
Yes, yeah. we've added two members, two very talented people, a bass player and a congist, Their names are Bryce Martin and Kristen Olson. They're both wonderful people. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to playing with them. So just kind of getting in that mindset, you know, playing with a band every night, you know, getting ready for tour.
Yeah, how I guess there's a lot of aspects of that are different than what you normally it's, or not normally, but traditionally, I'll say.
Yeah.
It's you and your brother, Addison. Mm-hmm. How does the dynamic change, either performing or rehearsing or whatever it may be, when you add two new people in that are like such a huge part of the show? Because you guys have played with like string quartets and stuff in the past, but this is more like they're stepping into the band.
Yes.
Yeah.
More like fundamentals.
Yeah.
Well, I would say musically, you know, everybody can kind of lean back a little bit more. Everybody's kind of, you know, with two guys, it's like every note you play, you're going to have to make that work. Because if you don't, it sounds like crap.
Right.
You know? And that's a minor swear word.
They say Busman's Holiday music is more about the notes that you don't play.
That's true. I find we're in the silence. That's also what the crowds say. If you ever go to our shows.
Never have.
Never have. That's exactly it. They all are silent. the music's there. Yes. So, you know, it's a... Yeah. So the dynamic changes because you can kind of relax a little bit more, you know. And they're so good that, you know, I've never been really able to, like, just not play the guitar, you know. And that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
You know.
So you can feel a little more free.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Much more free. And you can play solos and, you know, you can kind of – it's – I think I'm – both of us have been wrapping our heads around the fact that it is a different – you can do all the things that bands do, you know, at like, you know, if you go see Prince or something, we could do something kind of like Prince does or like Merle Haggard or, you know, whoever, you know, most people have bands. That's what I'm learning.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that, it's a different thing.
Well, your recordings, I mean, there are very few recordings that's just the two of you, right?
Yes, yeah.
So most of your recordings, you have some kind of ensemble. Ensemble.
Ensemble, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes.
So does it feel like you are bringing that into meat space, into real life? Or is it different than that? Is it different than what it's like to arrange your record with other people?
I think it's different. You know, you bring those people on and it's, the whole thing just changes and the songs take kind of new life and you, that's a part of it that I really like. It still feels, because what I've always liked is that we make albums and our live show is totally different than our albums. And now we have the two extra people. It's like we have, it's more like the records, but then in another way, it takes a different turn that it's like not. So it's just yet another dimension that we can kind of explore and enjoy, you know. I mean, because we have congas. I mean,
right.
Just that fact, you know that you have congas. It's like our album doesn't have congas on every track, but guess what? Now it does.
Do you feel a responsibility to the album or to people who are familiar with the album to try to replicate what they've heard on a recording, or do you feel like it's a completely new experience, come prepared to experience something different than the album?
My feeling is I just want it to sound good.
Sure.
So whatever that means to do that, so if we have to alter or, you know, I try not to be too, you know, like the album is the Bible. Because to me, when I go to a show and if I see a band that I really like, I don't necessarily just want to hear what...
You've already heard that.
You already heard that. Exactly.
And I don't think any of the Busman's Holiday heads are going to come expecting a big full orchestra like on the record.
Come on.
Everyone's... Yeah.
Exactly.
Everyone knows what they're getting into.
I agree.
Yeah. Half-hearted, half the thing you're used to.
Just kind of, you know, that's why there's not many people at our shows. They know what they're getting. I'll pass. There's a nice, there's a Chips reruns on.
Yeah, right. So you said you are working on new material.
Yes.
For an EP, maybe.
Yeah.
What is that process like for you? Are you, do you hole up by yourself? Do you and Addison write together? What is your creative process like?
Yeah. I think a lot of times it starts with me kind of figuring out musical ideas and then bringing them to Addison. This album, or this way, the way we've been writing just recently has been, we've been kind of jamming a little bit more kind of together, which is kind of how we did when we were just starting out. We would sit together and kind of work on musical ideas together. We haven't really done that in a bit. So that's kind of been fun, is to just sit down and, you know, Ad gets on the drum set and I'll play a guitar and we'll just kind of go for it. And that's been a different, definitely a different thing recently, you know. So that I would say that's how we've been going at it. But I mean, yeah, I think it's just whatever kind of, whatever you're feeling, we try to go towards. So
speaking of getting started, yeah. I was before when I was kind of preparing to talk to you on the show.
Okay.
I was thinking back to my first familiarity with you guys. And the first memories I have of you and your brother are seeing you guys perform on the street mm-hmm. outside Jiffy Treat on Kirkwood Avenue here in Bloomington.
Yes, oh yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that was a long time ago.
Very long time ago.
What year would that have been?
That's what I was going to find out, is when was that? What was going
what was
on?
The day, yeah.
Because it was even longer after that before I got to know you guys
yeah.
very well.
Yeah. I would say probably 2015. 2016? Yeah.
2017 was when I...
So you're talking about 2 years ago. I think we might be talking about a different thing.
Wait. I don't realize that what time I'm in.
When you said 2015, 2016, I thought you were saying 2005, 2006.
That's what I was
that's
saying.
What,
okay,
that's,
good,
what,
good.
That's how it registered
yes,
to
okay,
me.
Good, good. That's what I was trying to...
And then
yeah.
it wasn't until Mike smirking over there that I realized.
Yes, so it was...
2007...
Yeah. Yeah.
Is when I was first introduced to the name Busman's Holiday.
Okay.
Is it, up in Muncie.
Well, oh, I was going to ask, what, is that when you moved here? But you didn't move here until, what, 2009?
No. This would have been actually 2005 also, probably.
Wow.
Maybe 2006.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
I was up in Muncie mm-hmm. at my record store there.
Yeah.
And our mutual friend Grace came in.
Yeah, okay.
And she was like, hey, this is my friend's band. Here's some CDs. You should sell these here on consignment. And
that's
I was like,
crazy.
Sure. Uh-huh. Sounds cool.
And yeah. out the door they flew.
And that's, yeah.
and then yeah, I threw them in the trash can.
So, yeah. So,
that's
12
crazy.
Years ago today.
Yeah, I would say that's around, the, you know, 206, 205, something like that. Somewhere around those times. It's, that's a long time ago. Now.
That is a very long time ago. What was that, what were those days like for you guys? How, I mean, we've talked about your current iteration.
Yeah.
How does that... How long had you been playing together as a band, quote unquote, before yeah. you started doing that? I have a lot of questions about that time.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, were you busking, or were you? Was that your show? Like, how did you feel at that time, if you can recall?
Yeah.
About doing that, where were you yeah. guys at mentally?
Well, okay, so I think what's interesting is like now I think we're kind of almost getting into that time again. You know, everything's kind of cyclical. Or cyclical, you know, as I would say that we're kind of closer to that time, I think, than we ever have been, because back then we were playing with the two other brothers, the Romy brothers,
oh sure,
Nick and Matt, and that was really actually the original, you know, because we were Rogers and Rogers, and then the Romy brothers came along, and we were going to high school together. Addison knew Matt, and we kind of had thought. We should all get together, and I think we might have started even playing. We had like a couple practices, and then we said, "Let's go to the street." And I think that was kind of what we all kind of wanted to do. That, and so we went to Jiffy Treat, and then that was when I had a melodica at the time, and Matt was a really great, and still is a great pianist, and Nick played upright bass. So it just kind of made sense to kind of go down there, and that was what, yeah. And then the show kind of, you know, then we started writing songs. The Romies were great writers, and we were writing stuff, and then we just started playing.
So were you guys in high school at that time?
Yeah,
oh,
I was.
Wow.
I was probably. I think. Oh, yeah. The first show we played though was at Mooresville. Battle of the Bands.
Oh.
And we had original songs that we played Rogers and Rogers songs. And
did you ever think about calling it Rogers, Rogers, Romy, and Romy?
We did.
Okay.
We did. We thought, we were not under Busman's Holiday at the time. We were called R&R.
Oh, wow.
Which is Romy Rogers.
Yeah.
And, that was like when I was in deep blues guitar phase.
Okay.
So the show, we used to end with me playing the guitar behind my head.
Wow.
And like, we were like a serious rock
showboat.
And roll. We were a rock and roll band.
So I am not familiar with any of that portion of your existence.
Yeah. That was a whole other time. Yeah. And that's why it kind of comes back to now is that I'm finally kind of wanting to, you know, not necessarily play the guitar behind my head, which, you know, I don't know, sounds kind of fun, but, you know, getting back into that kind of, we were total showmen. We wanted to be showmen. We wanted to play a good show. And, yeah. So that, I think that's coming back around now. But that's how the original thing was. And we would play on the street. And, yeah. And so we would play almost our whole set. We could play it either acoustic or electric. So we would just kind
of
do that.
So were you playing an electric guitar for a lot of those live shows?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. We'd always have an acoustic and an electric guitar. And, yeah.
You said you guys were total showmen. That's something I've always appreciated about you since I've gotten to know you and through all of that, is what performers and entertainers you guys are. And, of course, you make it seem so effortless. Has to help that you're brothers.
Yeah.
But how much of that is conscious for you? How much of it was like, okay, we're going to go out on stage and we're going to entertain the pants off these people? Or how much of it is just what comes naturally to you guys?
I think what comes naturally to us is to really want to perform. And so that, so then it kind of, then it was always like, let's, well, I mean, in the beginning of Busman's Holiday, we had many shows where we'd have crazy things. We were really fans, big fans of the Flaming Lips at the time. So we wanted kind of things like that. We'd get in costumes. We had a dance. We did a dance number at one point.
Wow.
We all did. There was all sorts of things like that. So that was very conscious. I think we really wanted to be a good live band that people were really impressed with once it was over.
Do you feel that you still have retained some of that stuff? Because now, of course, your shows, especially when it's just the duo, your shows are more subdued than that, but they're still very funny and engaging, and you guys are still performing.
Yeah.
But do you feel you've kind of grown beyond that? You don't use gimmicks, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
like you kind of just described, you're not in costume, you're not doing dance numbers.
Yep.
But do you still feel, from my perspective, you've mastered, or at least are getting to mastering, performing?
Yeah.
How does performing now compare to doing that stuff back then?
Well, you know, it's like once we got done, we had a kind of falling out with the Romies, and we were, because of multiple things, but the main thing was that we kind of wanted to do it professionally, and we were having just trouble, just kind of miscommunications, as any, you know, relationships start to...
Band of high schoolers.
Exactly. And it was just like, and so, yeah, exactly. So that happened, and so in that way, it was almost like I wanted to go much more serious. I mean, not actively thinking about that, but that's just what happened. I think I was just very set on wanting to write, like, get into that emotional stage. I was just feeling that really hard. And so that's where we took the show, was just like, I mean, even more than now, you know, we had at least two or three numbers that would be like, you know, all right, everybody's got to be dead silent. And we're going to like really, you know, we're going to make everybody cry. Like that was my goal.
Yeah.
And, but you know, now, I think it's just like I was saying, kind of going back to that feeling of like, I want to kind of just have fun and still have that part. I really like being that emotional, poignancy or something, if you can make that happen, but still kind of, you know, give people a show. Maybe play the guitar behind your head or something.
Yeah.
Do something that people go, you know, cause I don't know. I think people just like that.
Have you played electric guitar live recently?
Yes. I actually, we played a show last week and I actually even started bringing in the electric guitar. We did the Hang On Sloopy. That was one of the first times we had done that in a very long time. And that's kind of, perfect example. Just wanting to get back into like rock and roll.
Back to your roots, just like George Strait in the movie Pure Country. You know what I'm talking about.
Damn right.
Hey, speaking of Hang On Sloopy.
Is your son Snoopy?
It might be Snoopy.
No, it's Sloopy.
This is esoteric, so I'm going to have to give some background. But we played a show with you recently in Indianapolis at a festival.
Oh, yeah.
Where on the way there, we were explicitly forbade from playing covers. It was like, do not play a cover.
Yes.
Whatever you do.
Look at the...
And we said...
They'll get ASCAP on their tail.
On
BMI.
The way to the show, we said, Busman's Holiday are going to do their cover. Or covers. And we were like, I wonder if anyone told them. And then we ran into Adam, our mutual friend Adam, your manager.
Yeah.
And he said, I've told them. And so it was like, okay, cool. So they got the word. So they know the score. We don't want them to get in trouble. Then we watched your set, and you definitely played some covers.
Well, they're the original punk rockers.
As you're playing, Adam wanders over and finds the gang of us standing there, like, laughing. And he's just shaking his head, and he's like, I told him. And so my question is, was there ever any fallout from that, or was it a poof of air?
Poof of air.
Yeah.
I remember, we didn't play a straight-up cover. We played, like, because recently we rewrote a song, a popular song, I Want Candy.
Yeah.
We rewrote it. So I thought...
I always thought that song could be a little better.
It could be. I know. I agree. That's why we did it. I don't know if you've heard the verses, but the verses aren't very good. A wonderful chorus. Wonderful chorus, but, you know. So yes. And I'd say that is something that we don't seem like punk rockers, but you'd be surprised... how much we like to push back.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all. Well, of course, I know you guys,
yes,
but
yes.
I appreciate... that is a good segue into this question of what sort of genre or scene do you guys think you belong to? Because I think of you as kind of a bit of like a rebellious punk rock act.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of, quote, genre-wise, your music is not like that at all.
Yeah.
But you've definitely got this attitude of... you know, a big middle finger. And you've got you're always spitting on your crowd and like puking in the safety pin thing. So I'm wondering where you think you guys fit in. Cause I know you fit in well. You do a lot of shows with sort of the like a Planet X crew. And I've seen you, of course, you play shows with us all the time.
Yeah.
And I've seen you play with all kinds of bands. I've seen you on stage at the Buskirk or wherever, you know, like playing some real serious songwriter shows.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you feel like you fit in?
The punk scene felt like the closest to us. I felt like it felt like somewhat of, it never felt like the music was close to us by any means. It was always actually like polar opposite of us a lot of times. The only similarity was that there was acoustic guitars, and maybe, you know, like a suitcase or something or, you know, something kind of funny. But that, as far as the attitude, that felt like the closest, but as far as, I don't really know, and I honestly think that may be part of our appeal, and also I think to industry folks, part of our downfall.
Part of what's so confusing about
you. Yes, exactly. Because I think that, you know, understandably so, I think people want a band that they can say, well, we want to put you in the market, you know. If you're reggae, we'll put you down the track for the Trojan, you know, or whatever have you. And I don't think... So I don't know. I just don't know.
I feel like it's a lot of great, like Harry Nilsson. It's kind of that way.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
A similar deal.
I feel very akin to Harry Nilsson, where it's like, it seems like the way he rebels is that he has like a Frank Sinatra album. That is completely
He has a huge hit that the record label wants to capitalize on with a big follow up.
Makes
standards. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, and
that's a good example.
I think you're right on. I think that's someone.
Is that satisfying to you? Is that enough for you to say okay? So the sort of industry sounds like you want to be plugged into to some extent.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know you said you wanted to go pro. I know you're touring a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is some drive to be a part of the music industry.
Uh-huh.
But are you satisfied just with that sort of? Knowledge of like, well, I am like Harry Nilsson. I am like, I don't know who else, but,
G.G. Allen.
I'm like G.G. Allen. I go my own way. I'm doing my own thing. You know, industry be damned or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that personally satisfying for you? Or does it feel like, a hindrance.
Well, I think it's I think anybody wants. My good friend of mine always says that he wants to be famous, just so then he can say I didn't want this. You know, and I think very similarly. You know, I kind of want you want that appreciation, but then at the same time, you know that it's just a bunch of garbage. You know, and it's kind of people fluffing you up in certain ways, you know? And so, to me, I just, I try to figure that out, you know what I'm saying?
Lou, what's your favorite part of, about playing music? You like writing songs, playing live? What brings you the most joy?
That's a good question. I think playing music, which sounds really generic, but I did think of this the other day. You know, some artists are very much, they're, you know, people like, I don't know. There's countless artists that are all, you know, you go, they know every producer and every record and every, they just love listening to music and that's how they've learned. To me, I just like playing music. And I think a big part of my development is not that I've listened to a lot of music and I love listening to it, but almost always I want to participate. And that's how I've learned anything really is not, I'll try to learn something and then I'll give up and I'll just try to play with it. And I think I think that's probably my favorite part is I do like making records though. It's fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like that insular, cause you know, you're at the peak of the creativity there, but. I don't know. I like both of them. When they're happening, that is my favorite part is when the music is happening, you know.
Sometimes people are like, oh, it's a drag to, you know, have to sit down and write lyrics or have to, you know.
Go on tour.
Go on tour.
Yeah. Yeah, go on tour.
That's me.
Yes. I definitely feel that. I mean, I don't know. I love it and I hate it. I don't know. Like John Prine said, he said, sometimes they asked about songwriting and they said, do you like songwriting? And he said, well, let me put it this way. Most of the time, I'd rather be eating a hot dog than writing a song. and sometimes I feel very much that way. Other times I feel very moved by it and I can't wait to get to the next thing.
But then sometimes when you're cooking a hot dog, you're like, I'd rather be eating a hot dog, but I don't want to eat a cold hot dog.
That's right. That's right. You got to cook it.
Exactly.
That's
pretty
good. That's good.
Life's complex, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I like that. We should just follow the story of that. Then you eat the hot dog.
It's better
and then you got to go somewhere.
Then you got to stomach it.
Then you got
to
stomach it.
It's better to burn a hot dog than fade away.
Just along the road, there's just so many words of wisdom.
Lou, so what's I asked this of Jason when he was on the last show, but I kind of want to ask you too now that we're talking about this. What does it mean for you for Busman's Holiday to be a success? With keeping all this in mind, because I love this kind of, like, this is what I love. This is partly what I love about you.
Yeah.
Is that I believe that about you. I believe that you are doing this because you love it. Mm. And so I wonder, what does it look and feel like for Busman's to be a success?
And always, the main thing that we've always said is that we wanted to play theaters. That was always the idea of success, is that you could sell out a theater gig. That's probably the top of what my real aspirations, you know. But success has changed as time goes on, you know, and I think that, I don't know. I mean, that is probably, in a very, like, generic term, that's probably, yeah, that's it, you know. And then, anymore, I try not to see it too much in financial terms or, you know, success in that way, because it's just, you know, you just have a certain, I don't know. Yeah, it's, you know, it can be a bit soul crushing.
Sure.
if you think that's success, you know, and you're not, but at the same time, you know, I think that there's a certain amount of, this is show business. So you gotta have a certain amount of hope in your heart and, you know, you go to, like, I always think of actors going to LA and I think about the music business a lot like that, where it's like, you know, what is the, anyone who's going to LA to act, they always say, like, well, you know, you're one of millions who go there to act. And they're still movie stars. So,
yeah.
And they're still the same people that say, I went there and I wanted to do this, and you know, that's what happened. So you kind of just have to, yeah, keep on trucking. And that's that. My idea of success is that I'm really being creative, to my full potential. That's my feeling of success. And there's lots of other, vain or, you know, things that I think about, but those are probably, that's the thing that if it's really at the core, I want to just be the peak of my creativity if I can.
Yeah. You mentioned geography. Mm-hmm. If you hit the peak of your creativity here in Bloomington, let's say,
yeah,
sometime you feel I've reached it, I'm at the apex, I'm nailing it, I'm really knocking them out.
Yeah.
Do you think Bloomington is still your home base? You've been in Bloomington your whole life.
Yeah.
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 And do you like that?
Yeah. I mean, I love Bloomington. I love being here. If it's up to me, yes. Sometimes I do think, like, maybe there's more opportunity some other place, you know, but I don't know. I love it here. I like it here. If it was up to me, yeah, I would stay here. And I plan to. But I don't know, given the career choice, you know, you have certain things out there that, you know, sometimes I do wonder what's going on there. But I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily, I think for a musician, it seems like just getting yourself over to those places. Not necessarily living there necessarily, yeah, you know, but I don't know. You know, you're always kind of workshopping the idea of your life and how to be successful.
It seems like, too, back to the acting comparison that you made, it seems, yeah, like with music, especially now, what with technology, you know, and it's the year 2000,
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah, yeah. 200.
The year 200.
Zero.
completely started thinking about jokes.
Yeah, sorry.
There may be more avenues for musicians to be, quote, successful.
Yeah.
In your home base.
Yeah.
If you get to the places you need to go, when you need to go there. How much touring are you guys doing right now?
You know, a good amount. We're playing a lot of gigs. The touring is coming in these next few months. And we're still kind of planning next year at this point. But we're just planning on recording the record and then, you know, figuring out tours. But not, you know, a healthy amount, but not, some people I see are, you know, just touring constantly. We're not touring constantly. Yeah. So, but we probably will. We will be touring quite a bit. But, you know, at this point, there's two major tours up in our rear view.
What drives the touring for you guys? Is it, new record, got a tour? Or is it, oh, we're feeling restless, got to hit the road? Or is it, oh, an opportunity came along? What kind of things drive being on the road for you guys?
Records for sure. yeah, I guess mainly records. Anymore, it seems like the industry kind of tells me that it's, you kind of have to have a new record every time, or if you're going to go out, you know, if you've got your old record or something, it's like, you know, da 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 da. But I don't know. I think that's what drives us a lot of times is new album. Cause we're just kind of lazy. and if it's up, you know, if it's up to us, I just think, you know, we'll try not to. I mean, I write all the time. I'm thinking about music all the time, but touring, you know, I mean, just like you said, it's no cup of tea.
If you could tour with any band, what band would you like to tour with?
Are you talking living or dead? Or?
A current band who tours.
Okay.
Current band.
So
that
they
tours.
Might hear this.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
So we're hooking you up here.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate that. Let's see.
Name it and claim it. Name it and claim it.
If we could play with any band, I would love to play with D'Angelo.
D'Angelo. Okay.
He's my dream guy. I would love, I don't know how this could happen and it seems very far fetched, but I just want a record produced by D'Angelo. That's my,
well gosh,
that's
yeah.
That'd be my guy. That's the guy I feel like
yeah.
he's making music that I, respond to quite a bit. You know, but I don't know. It's not, I can't say that's like my music necessarily, but I think we've got ties, you know, somewhere, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That's probably the person.
Well, D'Angelo, I can only assume you're listening. Busman'sHoliday.com has a contact form.
No, Busman's Holiday Band.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yep. Busman'sHolidayBand.com. That's right.
D'Angelo. I don't know what D'Angelo is going to find when he goes to Busman'sHoliday.com. I don't know what is at that website.
It's. I will tell you, a bunch of Japanese bots have taken it over.
Oh, dear. Okay.
And now it's a hair growth.
Oh.
Someone.
Yeah, now he's going to think you're insulting him.
Yeah, that's right. That or Paul Simon. No.
Oh,
he's
sure.
He's my man.
Yeah.
That's my guy. Those two.
Gosh, yeah, I could see you guys doing very well on a tour with Paul Simon.
You know, I sure would like that. You see certain people out there. I'm not going to name them. But they are sure a punch in the nuts.
They're out there doing it somehow.
Somehow.
If only we knew.
Jamesy.
They're all, you know, yeah.
Really. Let me ask you guys for a piece of advice. I kind of want to play a couple Busman's Holiday tunes. And then come back and ask Lou about songwriting. Do you think that'll interrupt us too much? We got a good flow going.
Yeah.
You think it will?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just kidding. I think it's a great idea. Let's do it.
Okay. Are you okay with that, Louis?
Sure.
You okay with playing your own songs on this radio show?
Sure.
I'm going to play one of my favorites from the new record.
Okay.
It's called Make Believe.
Okay. Yeah.
The new record's not out yet, right? It's not available in any way.
Yeah, it's dead on the arrival.
Oh.
That's what they call it. So the fact that, yeah. That's,
I was hoping you'd correct me.
No, it is available. It's, I think you have to go to napster.com/illegal downloads.
I always just Google Busman's Holiday plus Blogspot.
RAR. Yeah.
You can go to my live journal. I'll send you code
that has, you can download the sheet music.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it is available.
Hey, it's, no fooling. It's a great record.
Well, thank you.
I think it's real accomplishment.
Hey, well,
Popular Cycles is the name of the record.
It is. Yeah.
And, I want to play the song from it real quick and then we can come back and talk some more to Louis Rogers of Busman's Holiday. Here we go.
In the song.
Some things we keep. I see you rolling with the clouds
Bloomington, Indiana's own Busman's Holiday. What did we just hear there, Mike?
That was What We Need We Know. Is there a name for that, Lewis? For that those sessions?
From the Backyard Sessions.
Yeah, the Backyard Sessions. From a great DVD that came as a bonus prize with the new record. Yeah. It's wonderful. And I found that on YouTube, so if people want to take a peek,
nice.
It's out there.
Oh, there you go.
Is it supposed to be on YouTube?
I don't know.
Huh?
I think it was official. Did you guys put it up?
Yeah. Yes, I believe so.
It seemed official.
All right, then you guys are welcome to go there then.
I like that. I like that.
As a reminder, we are here with Louis Rogers of Busman's Holiday. Jared's giving me some
sounds. Oh, yeah. What's my little bed music up there?
Thank you.
I enjoy the bed music.
I did too.
Sorry, I didn't know about you guys.
Oh, I didn't know what you were getting at.
I gave the worst possible signal. All I did was point it up, which could mean anything. Could be pointing to the heavens.
Yeah.
Could be pointing that I want more vocals.
This is.
I'll come up with a signal next time.
We need to get you a sign that just says bed. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
Lou, I had a question for you before we went into that, but our conversation during that led me to another question, so I'll ask you both.
Yeah.
First of all, while we were listening to those recordings, and before that was Make Believe from the new record, one of my personal favorites from the new one. You mentioned that you hadn't heard it in a while.
Yeah.
Do you often listen to your recordings, new and old, after you've made them?
Yes. Once it's done, I listen to them quite a bit, you know, because you're kind of, I don't know, hopefully you're just getting that juice. You know, you're like, this is exciting. Got a new record. And you're listening to it. It's so good. hopefully. I mean, during the process, there was a lot of emotions, but once it was done, yeah, I usually listen to it for a while. And then you hear it so much, then it's like, well, because also you're hearing it with mastering and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And
nitpicking it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And you're just constantly listening to these tracks just to kind of also get ideas. So that's kind of, you know, you spend so much time with that. And then once the mastering is done, then I'll listen to it, you know, all the way. I'm actually trying to think about it. Because once it's done, then I'll listen to it a couple times, and I'll show it to people. And that's when I'm probably listening to it the most, is just showing it to people. Because we've done this with both of our last records, is that we have people over, and we listen to the new album together. We'll have listening parties. You've been to one?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
And we all, you know, we'll listen. And so that's a big chunk of it, is just listening to it with friends, which I really enjoy. And it's almost like the most fun, you know, because it's just like, you care about you. Those people know you, and they know exactly. They know where you're coming from, so you're kind of just showing them something that I don't know. It's just fun, you know, because it's very rare you can get that that directness from recording where someone's like you're sharing that.
The guy that made it is actually the guy showing it to you and like wanting the reaction.
Yes, exactly, And so then once that's done. Yeah, I mean, I don't really listen to them. I don't. I've been quoting a lot of people today, but Scott Walker, I was watching a documentary about Scott Walker, and he talks about he's a weird dude.
Jared led this show off with a Scott Walker tune.
Oh, really? Yeah. All right. There you go.
How about that?
Hell yeah. So he was talking about how he's so intense about a record that once it's done, he never wants to listen to it again.
Mm.
And I kind of agree with it, you know? I mean, you spend so much time on these albums, and there's so much emotion and so many things happen during it that once it's done, it's kind of like, all right, you live somewhere else now, and now you're for people who want to listen to it, and now the songs live kind of with me when we play live or something.
It's funny, like people, if someone listens to your record hundreds of times, you've heard those songs hundreds of times too, but not in like the actual mastered final version. You've heard them in these like other states. But this final thing.
Yeah, that might be the way you've heard them the least, actually.
Heard them,
yes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, actually, totally.
Yeah.
Which is funny. It's like, And I don't know. It's amazing how many times you actually hear it. But yeah, so it's kind of like you're kind of done. I don't know.
So speaking of the emotion that you put into it and whatnot, into creating this stuff, maybe less so in terms of the record, but at least in terms of the songwriting, this is a very vague and hilarious question, but yeah. What are your songs about? And what I'm asking is, are you a biographical songwriter? Are you writing character-driven songs? Make-believe in particular has so much vivid, for me, nostalgic imagery.
Yeah.
And I've wondered, is this about Lou? Or is this about someone that Lou invented? and, you know, all songs are about you.
Yeah, yeah.
But what do you say to that?
Well, I think that, you know, we write from character points of view. That's been a big way of expressing. My first song I wrote was a character song. I wrote a song about, yeah, like a... Either way, I won't talk about that. but either way, like since the beginning, I think that I've always felt like my life wasn't that interesting. So maybe let's write about someone else's that is. And I find that that song isn't really about. It's not about me necessarily. Some parts are. I feel like it's always you start with like the seed of an emotion of something that's happened, and especially with this album, I'd say this is the most personal record. This last one, mm-hmm. for sure, because there's certain things on there that I've thought about for a long time, and I hold definitely memories that I hold very dearly, and those are in there, but they're kind of hidden. Behind characters, and you kind of put them in the characters. But song like Make Believe, you know, that's a song about someone having a divorced parents and kind of what it's like to be going through a divorce as a kid, you know, and it's kind of like hidden in there, you know, just like a kid. It's
yeah.
Like you wouldn't really, I knew so many kids who's had their parents divorce. So I don't know. I just always thought that was pretty interesting. And so many people go through it. So I just liked that and kind of how that affects you and, you know, having your aunt over or something. That was something that happened a lot. And the big strokes, totally, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of, my parents are non-divorced, but there's a lot of stuff I relate to in that tune.
Yeah.
Just in terms of being a kid, I think you really nailed it.
Well,
with that one.
That.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. There is one part, the, I see you rolling through the clouds at night. My mom drove fast to make it home by 9. I remember specifically riding in the back of the car with my parents, and we were leaving playgroup, and I had a real big crush on this girl, and I remember looking out the window, and there's the song, by the moon and the stars, I swear.
Oh, sure.
I'll be there.
I swear.
Yeah, yeah. I swear. I swear was playing on the radio, and I was like looking out the window and thinking about her head like floating on the clouds. And so that is something that I think about a lot. So that got it in the song. So that's direct. But yeah, I don't know. They're so personal. Then you just start to really get into why you write something, and you realize how I can say they're character songs, but when I start thinking deeper about them, I think they're all pretty, they get real personal. Cause yeah. I have to be touched by it to keep it, you know.
You don't seem like a guy to me that has a lot of demons, but do you use your songs to exercise your demons?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Sometimes they come out in different ways, but yeah, I definitely think so. You gotta do something with those.
That makes me want to listen so much harder to your songs, because like I said, you seem so... Seems so put together to me.
Well, I appreciate that. This album's full of demons.
I hate to see what Lou'd be like if he didn't have these songs
Well, I was. He'd be a menace. Yeah.
I wasn't. I was a really angry little kid. I remember like I would punch the door until it broke, and I remember one day my dad. I did that, and my dad took me aside, and he like. Kind of, you know, was real forceful with me. I mean, not too forceful, but he shook me kind of like, hey, and he's told me like, you know, people who can't control their anger go to jail. And I remember thinking like, he's right. And so I don't know.
How old were you that time?
It's like 6 or 7.
Okay.
It was probably
2015.
2016.
2016. Yeah. So, yeah. So I think under, you know, under all this, I'm just a ball of anxiety. Just
anxiety and anger.
Anger.
Yeah.
Just trying to get up.
Cranked up.
Cranked up. Yeah.
Despite all your rage.
Still just a rat in a cage.
We're out of time.
We're out of time,
oh,
Lewis.
My Lord.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
I know.
It's flown by.
It's easy.
Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
I'm real happy you came on, Lou. These are the kind of, like, because we're friends in real life, these are the kind of questions I don't get to ask you outside these, like, formal scenarios. So I'm really happy that you played along.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying it. Thank you guys for having me on and asking me questions.
Where can the listener find the music of Busman's Holiday? At the record store? Hopefully.
Your local record store.
In the B section for Busman's.
That's right. Right behind Barry Gibbs.
Butthole Surfers.
The Butthole Surfers. Yeah, that's true.
Your record label, Joyful Noise Recordings.
Yes, yes, yes. You can go to their website. You can go to our website. We have a
Busman's Holiday Band.
.com.
Dot camp.
Yeah, that's
.com.
Right.
Do you have a Bandcamp page
for
the band?
We do.
All right.
Yeah, we're all over the web.
Well, Mike, should we close things with the song as we go out?
Yeah, you got something for us?
Yeah, let's hear something from another fellow legendary Bloomington songwriter.
Yeah.
Here's Stardust, written by Hokey Carmichael, but performed here by the late, great Martin Denny. Thanks for listening to Unspoken Requests. We will be back next time.